This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is 7:30, and I wanted to speak to Dominique for the longest time because I actually met her ages ago. There is this brilliant, it's an organization. It's a business called Alpha Code, and Alpha Code is something I'll tell you a little bit about in a second. But they are launching an incredible entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand. Basically, they're inviting applications from their prestigious Alpha Code Incubator program that looks to find and identify and reward high-potential, innovative entrepreneurs to boost the development of fintech and financial services in South Africa. I actually went to a talk that was held at Alpha Code a little while ago. Some really, really smart people in the room sharing ideas around fintech, the future of banking, the future of people being able to transact with each other digitally, what's happening in that world. And Dominique, I mean, Alpha Code's been in existence for some time now. You guys have done incredible, incredible stuff. And it seems to me that you're now going to take things to another level by inviting all these people with good ideas and with businesses that are already perhaps extant and in action to compete to be the next big thing.
That's correct. So Alpha Code is a division of Rand Merchant Investment Holdings. And as a group, Rand Merchant has had a long history of nurturing innovation with launching businesses like Discovery, like Archer, mm-hmm. and FNB being known as the most innovative bank. And we're really trying to continue that legacy and saying, how do we find the next Discovery? How do we find the next Archer? But very importantly, how do we find the entrepreneurs that know how to build businesses for today's world?
Right.
We live in a very different world, you know, the impact of technology, of social media, of cloud banking, but also a changing demographic. We've got a much younger population here in South Africa. We've got very different economics here in South Africa. So we need people who can build financial services for this country.
So how did you start? Because you had your own business and you sold it at some point, and you've been a leader in and of your own right in respect of fintech for some time. So tell us how that whole story unfolded, because then we can get into what you're looking for next.
So I've had the pleasure of working sort of in the banking and the tech space for many years. I actually started out at one of the big banks here in South Africa, working on what we called strategic investments and alliances. This was many years ago, where it was the first disintermediation of banking, where we were seeing things like Go Banking from Nedbank with like grocery store banking. We saw the first version of MTN banking. So that's when I started to understand that financial services wasn't static. I then left the bank that I was at. And
by the way, at that stage, people must have thought that some of the stuff you were talking about was nonsense.
Completely.
Because people are generally resistant to these kinds of changes, but especially in institutionalized things like banks, they're very, very unwilling to adapt to massive change. And you must have sounded like a canary in a coal mine to some, but to others like a bit of a lunatic.
I think that's spot on. I think the stuff that we were looking at was pretty out there. And a lot of it was way before its time. I mean, that's the one thing we have learned about technology and financial services is that it's very seldom actually about the technology. It's about customers' willingness to adopt technology.
Right.
One of the very first ventures I ever worked on was you'd phone in a call center and you'd use your cell phone to activate a card. And this was almost 15 years ago where people were just like, this is crazy. So it was really cool tech and the techies loved it, but your average customer didn't love it. But what that led to was a group of us actually left this bank and we said we wanted to redefine banking. We were struggling to really launch a low income banking product within the big institutions. And we said, what would happen if we redesigned banks? And we said, what does Bank 2.0 look like with no legacy, with new systems, with no legacy brand, etc.? And that's when a group of us set up a business called Time, which was a digital bank.
T-Y-M-E,
that's correct. And we were very fortunate that we had great partners in Pick and Pay and MTN, and we were able to launch a really cool low-cost banking product in 2012 called Mobile Money. At that stage, you know, I think what was successful about that was we had some amazing technology, but we also had a really good product that customers really needed. We were disrupting the money transfer system at that time. ShopRite was the big player in the market. Pick and Pay wanted to launch something that competed. And we just said we had a really cool value proposition. That business actually subsequently got bought by Commonwealth Bank of Australia. They thought that what had been built was really interesting, particularly for the emerging markets. They were growing aggressively into Asia. So they were going into Indonesia and they were going into India. So they decided this was a good platform to acquire. At that stage, that's when I exited and I joined Rand Merchant to launch Alpha Code.
It's incredible. So you're knee deep in this stuff, and you have been for a long time, so you understand the dynamics. And obviously there's a lot of new information coming in all the time. The interesting thing about what you guys are doing at Alpha Code now, and you've been doing a lot of interesting stuff over the last couple of years, is that now you're going to give 16 businesses a chance to compete for this 2 million rand. But it's 2 million rand. I mean, essentially what's really going to happen here is you're going to give them a platform and provide them with all the potential that they need and all the expertise and all the rest that they need to really advance their business and to accelerate things at scale.
I think that's exactly it. We've learned quite a lot over the last 3 years. AlphaCode was launched 3 years ago. And one of the things we've realized is, first of all, the average age of the entrepreneur in the space is in their late 30s. These aren't 20-year-old sort of university students with cool ideas. Sometimes they are. But for the most part, they are people who are in their late 30s, which means they've got family responsibilities. And they might have a burning passion for a business. They might have a great idea, but they can't necessarily step away from their corporate jobs.
Right.
Because they have school bills to pay.
Correct.
So that's the first element of the competition, is giving that 1 million rand grant funding. And we've realized how important that is to enable the sort of caliber of entrepreneur that we want to enter the space. The second thing is, we've learned there's certain things that you need to build a business. And a lot of that is around regulatory support, legal support, marketing support, design support. So we are working with select service providers who know how to work with startups. That's another very key thing.
Yeah, because even though you have to try to be everything, you don't have the level of expertise necessarily to get things going quickly enough. And these days, it's all about timing and critical mass and all those things. So clearly for the 8 businesses that eventually make it into the section, you want this program to last a couple of months so that you can help them with the things that they're not necessarily good at and advance the things that they really are.
Exactly. And I think one of the questions we do get asked is, why is the program a year? Because if you look at comparison programs globally, like Y Combinator in the US or 500 startups, they're generally 3 to 4 months. We've just got a very different ecosystem here in South Africa. We don't have as well developed an entrepreneurial ecosystem. People do need more support.
Much smaller market.
Yeah. So we feel that sort of it's a hand holding for a year period, because that's what it takes to get a business set up in the space.
So anybody with a business in the fintech space can take an interest in this. And what are the criteria for you to actually enter?
So first of all, you need to be in the very early stages. You need to be less than 2 years old. You don't have to have started trading, but you do have to have registered a company. So that's really important.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a pretty easy thing for people to have done if they've already had the idea and you've registered a company. Cool. What else?
The second thing is, it does need to be black owned. We think that's really important in terms of changing the face of financial services and making sure that we're building products that are for the majority of the population.
Does that mean completely black owned or 51%?
51% black owned. Yeah. And then the third thing is, you just need to be really ambitious and you've got to have a really interesting idea. So I think those are the three big criteria. Be, you know, in your early days, be black owned and have a really cool idea.
So tell me about some examples of what you're looking for, because this is quite a wide range of possibilities. Mm. So how do we narrow it down? Give me one or two scenarios of what kinds of businesses you might be interested in.
The nice thing with financial services is that the scope is expanding, so it's quite wide what we can look at. I'll give you an example of previous businesses that we've worked with on this program, because we've been doing this for a while. One was, for example, Livestock Wealth, who I think has been on the show before, who allows you to buy a cow through an app. Now, that's a really innovative take on asset management, and it's tapping into the zeitgeist of what makes sense for South Africa culturally. Mm-hmm. So that's a really interesting business. What's interesting about that one was that was a global first. He's been to a number of international competitions. No one has ever seen something like this with the concept of crowd farming. And he's had interest not just locally, but
crowd
from places
farming.
That's, he's actually trademarked that, crowd farming. So that's an example of one of the businesses.
Will the EFF try to expropriate his app without compensation? Because they probably will. All right.
Most likely.
That's a great example. What else?
We had another great business called Izazi, who are actually based just down the road here, a group of machine learning data science experts. So these were three young guys who were professors at Wits University in the maths department, who used to run competitions for corporates. So they used to have a global competition and they said, can we help solve corporate problems using maths? They are really nerdy, like beyond nerdy.
I love those people. I can't understand them, but I love them, because those are the guys advancing everything for everyone while the machines are doing all the actual hard work. They're coding and programming and making sure that things are moving in the right direction, but they are actually solving problems. I mean, they've enabled us to take huge amounts of data and statistical information and actually make it into useful powerful research or development information that then takes the technology or the idea somewhere important.
And I think what's really interesting about a company like Azazi is that they moved out of academia and they formed their own company, but they've been able to solve proper commercial problems. So they've worked with a lot of companies in the Rand Merchant Stable, like Outsurance, like West Bank, like RMB, in solving a myriad of problems. It could be call center optimization. They looked at some telematics data to create a really cool add-on to Outsurance's telematics technology. They worked with West Bank in terms of car identification technology. So
I mean, I'm sure that, for example, in insurance, what actuaries have always been so prized for is eventually going to become a machine thing.
Without a doubt. And it's all open source. I mean, that's the interesting thing about Azazi is all of the software that they use is open source, and that's their philosophy. So that's another example of a great business. I mean, I've got friends in Australia who've worked with Azazi, and they've said the quality of the data scientists that Azazi is recruiting here in South Africa is the same, if not better, than what they're getting in Australia, but at half the price. So that's another business that's been part of the program over the last few years.
I'm fascinated by the kinds of people that you're going to introduce these business owners to. Are you going to have experts that come in? You said legal, commercial, brand and design, all those kinds of things. What kind of access do you have to the most brilliant people in those fields?
I think where we're very lucky is, first of all, within our portfolio, we've got some great industry veterans. You know, we've got the founders of Discovery, we've got the founders of Outsurance, we've got the founders of RMB, who take a very active interest in what we do and are very willing to meet with entrepreneurs and work with them. But we've also, because from our own perspective, we work with so many interesting experts, whether it's legal or it's IP or it's technology, we get to see a lot. So we understand who's the best in the different spaces. Right. So for example, on design, we work with two design companies that are extraordinary. Group of entrepreneurs themselves who left big agencies and have started their own business and know how to work with startups. Because like I said, I think what's really important is if you're working with a lawyer, you can't go to one of the big law firms who bills per hour because it doesn't make sense for a startup.
Oh, that's half your money gone.
Exactly. And we've found some phenomenal people who have a real passion for the space and have tailored their business models to work with these kinds of businesses.
And then, of course, you've got the whole Alpha Code club, which is going to expose you to business leaders in another sense and people who are developing ideas that are going to be the next big thing.
Correct. I think that's one of the biggest benefits of the Alpha Code community is, say, for example, you're building a business that's based on blockchain. We've got some of the best blockchain experts and Bitcoin experts in the country that they can spend some time with. If you're developing a Stockfile app, we've got a great guy who just launched a Stockfile business. And I think what's interesting is often for entrepreneurs starting out, speaking to someone who's maybe just 1 year down the line is more relevant than someone who built a business 20 years ago. And I think that's one of the things we can offer is to say to people, at this point in your business, please speak to this person because we know they experience the same challenge.
Dominique Collette is a senior investment executive and the head of Alpha Code, and she is inviting you. If you have a business that fits into those criteria, and you can find out more, all of it's listed on our website, to pitch for one of 8 places on the Alpha Code Incubate program. It lasts for a year, and there's an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand for each of those businesses if you get in. That's an incredible incentive. I think there are loads of people who could do with the capital investment, who could do with the expertise. It's almost like the perfect safe place to develop a great idea and turn it into an actual business.
That's what we like to think, yes.
Yeah, well done, Dominique.
Thank you.
This is very, very cool. It seems to me that you're unstoppable. and now you're creating more unstoppable people. This is very, very good. Go to cliffcentral.com and you'll see it is under entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand. Alpha Code, you can find it all very easily on alphacodeincubate.club if you want to as well. And apply now. When did these applications close?
7th of September.
Get in quickly. You've got less than a month. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Got any ideas you want to throw in there, Gord?
Nothing technological. Nothing ethical
and
technological.
Anything?
No, this isn't quite my bag.
Okay, Sia?
I need to make some notes because there's 2 million rands up for grabs.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll put my mind to something.
That's not for you to spend.
I'm thinking about a system that plants and then replants the same tree.
No, shut up, Gord. Get out of here.
Thanks for listening to Gord.
Dominique, that's terrific stuff. And listen, if you want to find out more about Alpha Code, you can find out about them on the internet too because they've done very, very interesting seminars. That whole community's got some incredibly clever people in it. How often do you guys get together?
Quite often. I mean, we try to have sort of monthly meetups, sometimes weekly meetups, where we invite our entrepreneurs to come and share their story. We have things called burger and beer evenings, where we let them just come and sit in what we call a fireside chat and just sit casually about what's happening. Sometimes we have content-specific things. So there's always something happening in the Alpha Code space. If you go to our website and you look on events, you'll definitely see a list of very cool things that are coming up.
And are people just able to join there as well?
They are. So we've got different tiers. We've got different sort of levels of access. Obviously, if you are an entrepreneur in Alpha Code and you've been accepted into the club formally, we give you access to a lot more prestigious events and sort of some real experts. But as a general community who's interested, we have a lot of community get-togethers where people who just want to learn more about the space can come along.
Awesome stuff. All right, it's all on cliffcentral.com and you can find all the links there too. Thank you so much, Dominique. Nice to see you.
This is cliffcentral.com.